Well, pretty cool, and good morning to everybody, and happy Mother's Day to all the moms in the room. Can we just give a hand to all the families who got their kids dedicated this morning? And that was pretty awesome. You know, I love Mother's Day for many reasons. One is, as one of your pastors, I have this really unique view of getting to see so many lives of moms who are living for the Lord and raising their children. And I just want you to know, as one of the pastors of Encounter, that is inspiring to be a part of sharing life with all of you as a church family. I also love Mother's Day because I get to be married to this incredible mom. She's sitting back there, my wife, Amy, and we have had the privilege of shepherding our children into their young adult years together, and she is my best friend, my ministry and life partner, and I love her very much, and I'm thankful for her. I got a heart back. Thank you, honey. And that also today, though, is a special day for me. This doesn't happen for me often, but my mom is here today, and so my mom, yes, we can give her a hand. Don't tell her that I tell stories about our family all the time, you know. You know, my dad became disabled at a young time in my life, and my mom was just this critical piece of being a rock for our family in some really tumultuous times. She led me to the Lord. I would not be standing on this stage today if it weren't for her influence in my life in Christ. And so, Mom, I love you, and I'm really blessed to have you here on Mother's Day today. So it's unique for me. You know, I think that we have days like Mother's Day because we recognize how challenging it is to be a mom. We also have days like Mother's Day to remind us just how important moms are, and how, whether we're a mom or someone else, there's always these moments in our life where we need more encouragement, and we need our tanks to be refilled with encouragement from other people. And my prayer today is that for our moms and for everyone who's in this room is that we'll sense the encouragement of the Lord over us. But I want to do something for all the moms of Encounter right now. In a moment, when I ask you, I want us to give the loudest, most ruckus, earth-shattering cheer and praise and clap. I mean, I want the moms of Encounter to feel this in their bones as we cheer and clap a praise before God for them. And so on the count of three, we're going to do this. Are you with me? You ready? Okay, this is for all the moms of Encounter and everyone listening online. And here we go on the count of three. One, two, three. Yeah! Oh, that was a good one. Yeah, pretty cool. The funny thing is there's a mom looking at me right now going, my baby's asleep in my arms right now. That wasn't really good. So today we are continuing on in this incredible book of the Bible that we've been in the book of Acts. And we have been through the first 15 chapters, and today in many ways is this day where we're going to look at the life of someone who has kept popping up as we soon as a church are going to take a journey into the second half. And this is a bit of a catch up for us because we're going to look at this guy by the name of Barnabas who is known for encouragement. And this is one of those messages where it is a message for everyone on Mother's Day. And my prayer for us, every one of us, is that we will be encouraged in Christ and encouraged as God encouragers in the lives of others. In fact, the word encouragement means to take the action of giving someone support, confidence, and hope. Support, confidence, and hope. And we have the joy of having that in Christ together as Christ followers. And in the life of Barnabas, we see some qualities of someone who's known for encouragement and who can help us see how Christ is always pouring that same encouragement into us as we choose to follow him. And so I'm going to pray right now. In fact, I'm going to ask everybody to stand with me, and we're going to pray and ask the Lord to speak his encouragement into the lives of everyone here today, and just to speak to us through his living word. And again, just so thankful for all the moms who are with us today. So would you pray with me? Lord, what an incredibly special day as we celebrate moms, Lord. And God, we recognize on days like today, it can be a really hard day for many people for many different reasons. And we pray your comfort and your word of encouragement over all of us, Lord. Father, we are asking for your spirit of encouragement to come through your living word and through your Holy Spirit. We thank you for examples that you give us in Scripture, and we just ask you to speak to us, Lord, through the sweetness and the power of who you are, Jesus. And we pray this in your name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. Please be seated. Well, we're going to look at developing the life, a life of encouragement today, and I'm specifically using the word develop because often we need to be developed as encouragers, and many times to be developed in receiving encouragement. Anyone willing to raise a hand and say, I have a hard time receiving encouragement sometimes? Yep, many of you out there, the honest ones out there. And so I'm praying that we'll receive it as much as we're encouraged to give it today. And in the life of Barnabas, we have someone who displays that for us by the first thing we see in him is by reaching for generosity in the face of need. And he is someone in the Bible that if there's one thing that he's usually remembered for, it's this act of generosity that stands out in the book of Acts. And in Acts chapter 4, we meet Barnabas, and this is what we read starting in verse 36. Thus Joseph, who was also called by the apostles Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, a Levite, a native of Cyprus, sold a field that belonged to him and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. So in the book of Acts, the Bible says Joseph, who was called by the apostles, the leaders of the church, Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. So basically, some of the apostles, the leaders of the church, came to Joe and they're like, hey, Joe, we just need you to know that name is not sufficient anymore. We're going to give you a new name because of what we see God doing in your life. You're so full of God's encouragement in you that you're sharing it with other people around you. And so we're going to call you Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, because you're someone who brings God's encouragement to others. And encouragement, when really properly understood, is really part of the language of the Bible. In fact, if you look at the New Testament by itself, over 100 times we will find that word to encourage in one form or another. It makes you think that God wants us to be encouraged in him today. And as we all know, sometimes when we're given nicknames, as Barnabas is given a nickname in this case, sometimes the nicknames we get aren't the most encouraging. Ever gotten a non-encouraging nickname? I have many nicknames that I've had over the years that I will not share with any of you this morning. But there was one nickname that I'm somewhat known for, and it goes all the way back when I was a camp counselor at Bass Lake Christian Camps up in the Sierras. We'd have students come for a week of camp, and high schoolers, middle schoolers who were my favorites, and elementary school students. And as a counselor, you had a nickname, and it was your camper's goal during the week of camp to figure out what your real name was. But the way you got your nickname was during the training time for the counselors, something funny or someone would notice something about you and they'd try a nickname out on you, and usually it would stick then for the rest of summer. So for example, one of the counselors, he was a guy, he had really skinny legs and he had strong upper body. I mean, just massively strong on top. And he was called Spider-Man, you know, just that was his nickname. There was this one young woman, and she was super grumpy in the morning. I mean, just grumpy. Any grumpy morning people out there? Okay. Yeah, we got a lot of good, honest people today. But she was called Bear, because she was just like, you know, just rawr, you know, at everybody in the morning. So she was Bear for the rest of the summer. There was this other person, and they had glasses. And anytime they would touch their glasses, they would also stick out their tongue. I don't know why, but it was just, you know, it was just this straight, why do we do these, you know, funny tips like this? But they became Frog, and so they were Frog the rest of summer. So my nickname was a result of having really long, shaggy brown hair at the time. I was called Moose. You can see it, right? I mean, you can see why. I mean, I know it takes faith today to realize why I was called Moose. The other reason I was called Moose was because in some of the activities as camp counselors, I was not always the most agile person on the staff team. And Moose, or Meese, as they are affectionately called in the plural, but that's incorrect, by the way. But Meese, they look really awkward, you know, when you look at them. But in reality, they're super strong and powerful, which is, I'm sure, is why they gave me the nickname Moose, by the way. But not in Acts. Among the church, the apostles look at Joseph and his life and the fruit of his life. They say, oh, Joe, we're calling you Barnabas because you are a person of encouragement and you're blessing people around you. And Joseph, or Barnabas, becomes the first recorded donor in church history. Get this. He is the person who for all eternity will be remembered for this massive gift of generosity. He sold a home that he had to meet the material needs of the church. He's the first person in the early church to get one of those little records at the end of the year to give to Uncle Sam. I'm sure that probably wouldn't work with Rome at the time. So that's probably not what he got. But when it comes to encouragement, generosity and acts of generosity, whether it's with finances or time, there's a joy that happens when we encourage others through acts of generosity. In fact, when you give something as a way of encouragement to someone, you now have less of something, and somehow by giving something, you have less of something, but you actually have more in your life because there's joy and encouragement, and someone else has more as a result. And so Barnabas encourages the community through this act of generosity. Then the apostles encourage him with this nickname. And all of this encouragement is rising like a sweet aroma to God. And that is how encouragement works. And I wonder this morning, who in your life right now, maybe God might even be bringing to mind for you that you could be generous towards, either with some finances or with some time, to encourage them. In fact, maybe it has nothing to do with a financial generosity. Maybe God's tugging on your heart for some time. Many of you know this. We have Vacation Bible School coming up for a week for our children. And we are praying this year that we will have somewhere between 280 and 300 children for a week of Vacation Bible School. And so we're praying for that. In order to do that, though, we're going to need about 120 volunteers. That's a 3-to-1 ratio. I like that. That's pretty cool. But what we really need right now are some more group leaders who will walk around with the kids for a half a day for that week and do all the different activities with them. And so maybe the Lord's tugging on your heart right now to be generous with some time to love and encourage some children this summer who need to be reminded of who Jesus Christ is and how much God loves them. But Barnabas also displays developing a life of encouragement by reaching for grace in the face of failure. And one of the things that we see him do is that after Acts chapter 4, he's going to disappear in the Bible for 5 chapters. And then all of a sudden, he's going to come up at this really important moment as he comes alongside this man by the name of Saul. And Saul has been terrorizing the church and Christians, but he's on the road one day and he has an encounter with Jesus and he comes into a living relationship with God. The only problem is all the church around him doesn't believe he's sincere. They wonder if he's just hatching a plan to persecute more Christ followers. And it would have been a little bit like Vladimir Putin coming to know the Lord, going as a missionary to Ukraine and wanting to meet with all the Ukrainian church leaders, because this is what we read in Acts chapter 9, verse 26. And when Saul had come to Jerusalem, he attempted to join the disciples, and they were all afraid of him for good reason. He'd just been terrorizing them, for they did not believe that he was a disciple. But notice who comes to his rescue. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared to them how on the road he had seen the Lord who spoke to him, and how at Damascus he had preached boldly in the name of Jesus. And so he went in and out among them at Jerusalem, preaching boldly in the name of the Lord. And so no one is willing to touch Paul or Saul with a 10-foot pole. And so they're wondering what they're going to do. And then all of a sudden, as they're thinking about it, they're like, oh, Barney. Barney will do it. Barney likes everybody. And so they send Barnabas to check out to see if Saul is authentic in his newfound faith, because he's known as an encourager who is always pulling people up towards the Lord instead of down towards shame, because Barnabas believes that anyone can change with the help of God. Can I hear an amen? See, Barnabas is an encourager. He knows he won't let what someone did yesterday limit who they can become today in Christ and who God is making them tomorrow. And so he's willing to take a risk on Saul when no one else would. He's willing to invest in him and call out some great things about him. And he stands up for God's work in his life. And so Saul is embraced by the early church for one reason alone, and his name is Barnabas. He trusted in the work of God's grace. He understood what Jesus said that applies to all of us here today in John 6:37. All that the Father gives me will come to me, Jesus says, and whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. See, as God's kids, there's no case that we can present to close off the heart of Christ's love for us. There's nothing we can say that'll close off his heart for us. And today, I pray that every one of us are encouraged and reminded of that. That despite failures of the past, despite even, you know, habits of the past, that God's grace is there for us today. And Saul actually goes on to become the great apostle Paul, who God is going to use to write half of the New Testament. We also can develop the life of encouragement like Barnabas by reaching for praise in the face of criticism. And God's encouragers see spiritual growth in people, and then they call it out. They name it. And Barnabas, he's going to disappear again in the book of Acts. He's just this person that God brings back. All these hinge moments as the church is in its infancy, as it's in its teenage years. It's almost like the way God uses a parent. But he disappears for a couple more chapters, and he shows up again in Acts chapter 11. Because up until this point, all of these Jewish people, or mainly Jewish people, have been coming to faith in Christ. But now more and more Gentiles or non-Jews are coming to Christ. Especially, there's a large group in the city of Antioch. And it's this huge, critical hinge moment in the history of the church, because many of these new believers are Greeks. And they don't know anything about the Bible. And all of their Jewish brothers and sisters are basically expecting them to become Jewish in tradition in order to become a part of their church family. And so in a sense, everything is going to hinge on who the Jerusalem church is going to send to solve this dilemma. And so who do you think they send? Yeah, they send Barnabas. And we read in Acts 11, verse 19. Now those who were scattered because of the persecution that arose over Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, speaking the word to no one except Jews. But there were some of them, men of Cyprus and Cyrene, who on coming to Antioch spoke to the Hellenists, also preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number who believed turned to the Lord. And the report of this came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. And so at this point in the story, the church in Jerusalem needs a follow-up program for the church in Antioch, and their follow-up program is basically named Barnabas. And notice what he does, Acts 11, verse 23. And when he came, that's Barnabas, and saw the grace of God, he was glad. And he exhorted them all to remain faithful to the Lord with steadfast purpose. And read verse 23 again. When he came and he saw the grace of God, he was what? What does it say? He was glad. He got happy. He was visibly excited. He is praising what he's seen God do in the lives of these people. It's like when you have someone in your life, maybe a married couple, and they're having a really, really tough time. They're really struggling in their marriage. And then all of a sudden, you begin to see them begin to take even these small steps towards healing and towards the Lord. And even though they're just the initial steps, you are praising that and celebrating that and encouraging it. Or it's like when we have some unhealthy relationships in our own life, or we have some unhealthy habits, and we take some steps maybe to go to an incredible thing like Celebrate Recovery, this place every Thursday night where you can come and give your hurts, habits, and hangups to the Lord and find Christ's help in the midst of them. And we celebrate those steps in the lives of others and in our own lives. George Washington, in the midst of the Revolutionary War, he once said this. It's my favorite George Washington quote. He said, "My men can go a week without food, but they cannot go a day without encouragement." And it is so true. It is true in the battles that each of us are facing in life right now. It is true in the midst of this greater battle that's always going on for the hearts of those who we love around us. We need God's encouragement. And verse 23 says that Barnabas saw the grace of God at work in them. He saw how God had forgiven them, even when they didn't deserve it, and he was lavishing the unlimited love of God over them. He exhorted them all to remain faithful to the Lord with steadfast purpose. He basically serves up the word of God with joy. He reaches for praise. And like Barnabas, we can also develop a life of encouragement by reaching for time invested instead of our own advancement. And I want you to know, we are seeing a living picture of this in our church family right now as we're in this critical transition moment for our Encounter Preschool. Our Encounter Preschool has about 185 amazing children who are a part of it. They're just amazing. Oh man, you should see our campus during the week. Just all these amazing children going around everywhere with their teachers. And we get to invest in them educationally, and we get to invest in them spiritually. In fact, as I've been at Encounter, I've met so many people who said, "Well, I came to the preschool and then got connected to the church, and we came to know the Lord." And there's a whole history of people following the Lord because of the preschool. Or you found our church family through the preschool, and it's part of why we even have a preschool. But we shared a little while back that Debbie Keegan, who has been our amazing faith-filled preschool director for the last 37 years, is retiring. And she's retiring at the end of this month. And I was thinking about this, 37 years. I had to do the math. That means that she started in this role somewhere around 1987. That may very well be, I'm not sure. I've only been here for 20 months. I'm barely getting started. But if that very well may be the longest tenured staff member of Encounter. That's just truly amazing. And one of the privileges we have had and that I get right now is actually to announce who are new. And oh, but I almost forgot. Next Sunday, we're going to be celebrating Debbie at the end of our worship services. And just so you know, Debbie's favorite ice cream is Mr. Softy. Any Softy fans out, Mr. Softy fans out there? So we're going to have Mr. Softy here at the end of our services outside to honor 37 years of faithfulness with Debbie as our preschool director. But we'll talk more about her next week. But today, it's my privilege to get to announce to you who the new Encounter Preschool Director is going to be starting in May. And so I'm going to tell you right now, we have her picture on the screen, the new, after a search process and a deep interview process and great candidates and a bunch of people involved along the way, it's my privilege to announce the new Encounter Preschool Director as Alex Link. Can we give her a hand? She's sitting over there in the stand. She's standing right there. Give her another hand. Alex has been one of our preschool teachers for the last 10 years. One of the things that we know about Alex is she is just highly respected among our parents in our preschool and among our fellow preschool staff, and the children adore her. And she has the education background that we were looking for. She has the training we were looking for. She also embodies just the heart of Encounter to reach our community for Christ. And she's a strong leader and just cares for people. And most importantly, she cares for the Lord and loves the Lord and just shares that with everyone. So we're thankful for you, Alex, one more time. So. Pretty exciting. Alex and Debbie have been in this partnering process, getting ready for this handoff moment to happen, and it's been really beautiful, and we are thankful and proud of both of them. And I look at this, and I just think, man, God is building his team at Encounter, and I am just so thankful to get to be a part of that. And what we see in Acts, in the midst of meeting needs in Antioch, is Barnabas realizes, hey, I'm going to need some help if I'm really going to help all these people in the church in Antioch. And he thinks about it, and he's like, well, I'm going to need somebody who knows the Bible. I'm going to need someone who can speak to non-Jewish people, to Gentiles. I'm going to need someone with some courage, and I'm going to need someone with a formidable mind. And he's reflecting on who might help him in this endeavor, and he remembers this brilliant convert named Saul. And this is ironic because at the time, no one was more Jewish and proud of being Jewish than Saul. And yet Barnabas looks at him and says, I think there's something that can be developed in this guy to reach the world for Christ. And Saul soon becomes Paul. And the reason he becomes Paul is because Saul is his Jewish name and Paul is his Greek or Gentile name. And Paul goes on to become the great pastor missionary of the Gentile world. But it starts with Barnabas pulling him in and encouraging some gifts in him. And encouragers see things in others that no one else can see, and they invest time in them. And there's this really cool thing that happens in the book of Acts. In fact, whenever you look at ancient literature, you can tell who's in charge by whose name is listed first. Whoever gets listed first, they're more prominent. They have more prestige in the role. And in the book of Acts, you see what you would expect. Like in Acts 11, verse 26, we read, for a whole year, they, that's Barnabas and Paul, met with the church and taught a great many people. And then this church in Antioch, where Barnabas and Paul are, they hear about this famine back in the Jerusalem area and the Jerusalem church. And so they take an offering to meet that need. And we read in verse 29, so the disciples determined everyone according to his ability to send relief to the brothers living in Judea. And they did so, sending it to the elders by the hand of Barnabas and Saul. But then something begins to happen, because Paul's gifts are increasing as Barnabas invests in him. His maturity is becoming greater and greater. And by the time you get to Acts 15, you start reading things like this. But Paul and Barnabas remained in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord with many others also. Their names are switched because Paul is now the leader among them. And Barnabas has basically lived out the model for us of spiritual mentorship, a model that Jesus models with his disciples. It's a little bit like being a parent. You know, when your kids are young, they're your son or your daughter. But as your kids begin to get older and you go into their spheres of influence, all of a sudden you become Katie's dad or Jessica's mom, and you're super proud of them as that shift begins to happen. And Jesus models this for us, what making disciples looks like. It's in Mark chapter 3, verse 14. It's like this little synopsis of how we do discipleship, where it says, and Jesus appointed 12, whom he also named apostles, so they might be with him and might send them out to preach. And so Jesus appoints, he names them, then he spends time with them, and then he sends them out. It's the heartbeat of being a parent. It's the heartbeat of being a spiritual parent and making disciples. When it comes to being a parent, God appoints you a child, you name them, and you spend a certain amount of time with them, and then you send them out. My wife, Amy, we had this really special weekend last weekend where our two adult daughters, Katie and Jessica, they're twins, and they both graduated from college last weekend. It was pretty cool. for us. Yeah, excited about that. They're smiling at me back there. Jessica goes to Biola, which is in LA, and she graduated on Friday night. It was so exciting. And we got done super late at Biola in LA. And then Katie graduated early on Saturday morning at Westmont in Santa Barbara, and we slept like 3 hours in between. It was really exciting. But the girls, we just want you to know as parents how proud we are of you, of the women of influence you have become for the Lord and in life, and we love you very much. So glad to have you here today. From a human standpoint, we could say that Barnabas isn't doing a really good job at career management because Paul begins to take over. The cool thing is that Barnabas couldn't be happier because he's an encourager. And finally, like Barnabas, in developing a life of encouragement, we do so by reaching for healing instead of abandonment. And God's encouragers know how much they're loved and forgiven by the Lord and offer that to others. And sometimes that means giving a second chance and a third chance and a fourth chance. And if you're a parent, a 25th chance and many more chances. And one of the young men that Barnabas and Paul reached out to was named John Mark. Sometimes you'll hear people talk about him as just Mark. And we actually catch a brief glimpse of him in the Gospel of Mark, which most biblical, scholars believe he is the author of. Because in the Gospel of Mark, there's this young man, and he's following around with Jesus. But just before Jesus is crucified, he gets afraid at what's happening to Jesus, and he runs away. He deserts Jesus in his time of need. And Mark, in the Gospel of Mark, tells us that he left his cloak behind, basically left his jacket behind. It's this interesting detail, and most people think that is Mark, or John Mark, writing about himself and his own gospel. But later, his faith is renewed, and he joins Barnabas and Paul on their first missionary journey. And Luke writes this in Acts 13:13. Now Paul and his companions set sail from Paphos and came to Perga in Pamphylia, and John left them and returned to Jerusalem. So John Mark deserts Barnabas and Paul on their first missionary journey. And we don't know why. The Bible doesn't say. Many people think he got intimidated by being this young Jewish Christ follower in this really tough Gentile area of the world. Other people think that Mark was really struggling with the leadership shift that was happening between Paul to, from Paul and Barnabas, like what happens often in a business when you have a new boss and certain people do well and other people don't do well. But some time passes and Paul says to Barnabas, hey, let's go on another trip together and encourage the churches. And Barnabas wants to take John Mark, and Paul doesn't want to because of his track record. And this is what we read in Acts 15:37. Now Barnabas wanted to take with him John called Mark, but Paul thought best not to take with him one who had withdrawn from them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to work. And there arose a sharp disagreement so that they separated from each other. And that sharp disagreement means they had a sharp disagreement. They had words. They had words. You ever have one of those? With your family? With your coworkers? In a church? These things happen all the time. And so Barnabas decides to take John Mark with him and go a different way, and Paul takes Silas with him. And so Barnabas is willing to give John Mark a second chance, after he had abandoned Jesus just before the crucifixion, and after he had abandoned he and Paul on their first missionary journey, because a few failures doesn't mean total failure. Can I hear an amen? And may we hear that today over our own lives. That even after times of failure, even after times of discouragement, it means the Lord is still working with his loving grace in our life. And I imagine Barnabas coming to Paul and saying, who do you think you are? Do you remember how everybody was treating you when you first came to faith? And after all that you had done to all these people to bring turmoil, who was it who gave you a second chance? And Barnabas is like, yeah, it was me. And he's like, and now you're not going to give John Mark a second chance? And it's really fascinating because the Bible doesn't say Barnabas was right or Paul was right. It doesn't say the Holy Spirit led this way or that way. And sometimes we just don't know. We have to use our wisdom. And God grows us in those moments. And yet notice what Paul writes to Timothy. This is probably the last book of the Bible that he was used to write just before he was killed for his faith in 2 Timothy 4, verse 11. Luke alone is with me, Paul writes. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is very useful to me for ministry. And so somewhere along the way, because of Barnabas's investment in Mark, even Paul has embraced him again. Barnabas was right, but not just about Mark, but more importantly about God's ability to bring healing in the face of previous failure. And this is key. And Mark was willing to receive it. He was willing to receive that encouragement and even give himself another chance. And he would go on to write one of the Gospels. And most biblical scholars believe that his gospel was the first one written in the timeline of when the gospels were written, and that actually Matthew and Luke, who wrote their gospels later, actually used parts of Mark's gospel. It was a bit of an AI gospel sharing moment, all right? It even happened back then. You know, it's kind of cool how, it's fascinating how God works out his greater purposes. Out of the ashes comes new life. Now, there's this really cool author by the name of Gene Getz. He's like 92 years old right now. Just an amazing, amazing guy. But he has this theory on why Barnabas is so sympathetic towards John Mark's situation. And here's what Gene Getz says. He goes, remember in the book of Acts, how in Acts chapter 1, Jesus has ascended to heaven, and the church, the apostles, are waiting for the Holy Spirit to be given, and Judas is gone now, and so they believe they need to choose a 12th apostle. And they have two candidates for the 12th apostle. One of them is Joseph, also named Barsabas, and the other's name is Matthias. And they cast lots, and they end up choosing Matthias. And many people argue that they pretty much jumped the gun because Jesus had said, don't do anything, don't pass go, don't collect 200 until the Holy Spirit is given. But they choose Matthias anyway. And you don't hear about Matthias again in the rest of the Bible. He's never mentioned once. But Gene Getz suggests, along with some other Bible scholars, that in Acts 1, Joseph, who is also called Barsabas, who is not chosen as an apostle, is the same Joseph in Acts chapter 4 who's given the nickname Barnabas. And what that means is that Joseph, also called Barsabas, who was passed over as an apostle, is one and the same as Barnabas in Acts chapter 4, who the apostles are now giving this name Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, meaning that he continued to serve Christ even after he was passed over, even when he really wasn't noticed, even when the leadership apparently wasn't making the greatest decision in that moment. And it makes Barnabas, the son of encouragement in the book of Acts, this incredible behind-the-scenes servant that has been used in the life of the infancy of the church as it even goes into its teenage years. Because think about it. That means that Joseph, Barnabas, in Acts chapter 1, he's passed over as an apostle. He just completely misses it, but he continues serving the Lord. And then in Acts chapter 4, he decides to sell a property to take care of the church because he loves God's church so much. He's continuing to serve. And then in Acts chapter 9, he shows up again. And he is trusting in the grace of God being at work in Saul's life that had been so damaged his reputation that only Barnabas would believe in who God was making him. And then he shows up again in the book of Acts in Antioch in this new Gentile non-Jewish church, and he encourages them in their walk in the Lord. And then he shows up again in Acts chapter 15. He doesn't give Mark just a second chance or a third chance. He gives him a chance. And Mark, John Mark, is going to go on to write one of the Gospels. And even while he's doing that, he's continuing to invest in Paul, who goes on to become one of the greatest missionary pastors for the Gentile world. He is this amazing behind-the-scenes servant that God uses in these hinge moments in the life of the early church. And my question for us today is this: who in your life does God want you to have one of those hinge moments with? To be a behind-the-scenes servant that encourages someone. And who in your life right now do you need to pull in, to reach and pull them into your life so that you can be encouraged in your own walk with God as you are living for him? Because the Bible is reminding us today that we all need encouragement from the Lord. We need to be sharing it, and we also need people in our life who are giving it to us as we're following Jesus together. Would you pray with me? Jesus, we just thank you that you are the ultimate behind-the-scenes servant that weaves together the different pieces of our life by your grace. We thank you that you were willing to go the distance for us, Lord, all the way from heaven to the earth, to the cross to die for our sins, to the grave, and to rise again and to invite us into life with you. We thank you for making that ultimate sacrifice for us, Lord, for your generosity through the cross. We thank you for believing in us, Lord, even at times when we don't believe in ourselves, even when others around us may not believe in us. And Lord, we thank you for having the long view of our life. And Lord, I just lift up anyone in this room right now who's maybe has some people around them that they feel like aren't believing in them, or maybe they're struggling to believe in themselves. Lord, would they know with all your heart that you love them and you believe in them and who you are making them. And Lord, I pray your encouragement over your people as God encouragers today. And we thank you, Jesus, for being the main encourager in our life. In your precious name we pray, amen.